Good morning, and welcome to worship at Little Sitara. It's come out on this beautiful day. I was thinking of that term they call fair weather Christians. I think you guys aren't the fair weather Christians. You're here even in the bad weather. But I looked out this morning and saw the rain, and I opened the door so I could watch it. I was like, this is cool. It's really nice to see the rain. It's a joy. It's a joy to be here for worship this morning. Announcements. Does anyone have announcements that they want to bring? I know Todd wants to make one. We have guests today. The Hoovers are here to share their story. Well, I'm not sure what they'll share. I haven't heard it yet, but we're looking forward to hearing that. And we're also taking a special offering. Is that today as part?
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday, we're going to be taking a special offering to support the Hoovers. And it is to support the Hoovers, right? Yes. And their work in the Dominican Republic. I don't know what's up there. All right, Todd's here.
All right, good morning. Just want to let you know some stuff. Camp Sitara is celebrating 75 years this year. And next Sunday, you are all welcome to join for a hike, because that is officially when the birthday is next Sunday. Next Sunday, there will be a hike starting at 1 o'clock at the Fellowship Hall and should conclude roughly around 4. They're going to be doing the Boundary Trail. More information can be found on the camp's website or in last week's bulletin. Now, in this week's bulletin, if you turn, August the 3rd through the 5th is the Celebration Sunday, or Celebration Weekend for 75 years. Friday, you can spend a day in life of camp, and the fees are listed in the bulletin. Saturday, we'll start off with a breakfast in the Fellowship Hall for pancakes if you want to come back, followed by morning activities including boating, swimming, hiking, and activities as far as decade stuff. More information can be found on our website. For lunch and supper, we need to know meal counts. So if you could please, if you're going to come for breakfast, lunch, not really lunch, but sorry, but breakfast and dinner, we need to know meal count wise. So either go online to campsitara.org or go onto their website. And that is August the 4th. It is all free. They just want to know roughly how many people to expect. If you can spend a morning, afternoon, evening, your pick. As you see in there, the evening, you're going to have a rock pile, hike up to the rock pile for sunset, and then there's going to be campfires going on in the evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
My advice, if you're going for the rock pile thing to see the sunset, that means you're coming down in the dark, so take a flashlight with you. Yeah. I've been there. It's not so bad, but you got to go slower. I think that's it for the announcements. It does say at the bottom there, please remember to sign the register of attendance, so remember to do that. And next up is the NYC dedication.
We have youth and advisors among us who are super, super excited to head to National Youth Conference. So if you are among them, we would invite you to make your way forward for a National Youth Conference commissioning. And this is an exciting commissioning service. Carol Elmore, we're going to give credit to her. She wrote this and posted it on Facebook and said anyone who wants to use it, we'd invite you to do so. So we may have something for you as the congregation on the screen to respond. Is that correct, Mark? Will there be something on the screen? There will be. So just gather around. Let's be one big happy family getting excited to go to NYC. You know, I'll admit, when I first became Brethren, like going to NYC, I thought they were going to New York City. I didn't realize it was National Youth Conference. Just a little, yeah, now I know. All right, so our congregation is excited to send you to National Youth Conference. Be open to new experiences. God will be working all around you and through you. Be watchful. Listen to God and to God's people around you. Be expectant of the new clothes God may want to put on you. And be thankful. Thankful for this opportunity and for those who helped you to get there. Thankful to God for what you will learn. NYC goers, will you repeat what's on the screen, please?
May we keep our eyes, ears, and hearts open to see, hear, and experience.
And congregation, would you please rise if you're able and repeat what you see on this screen? God, keep these National Youth Conference participants open to seeing your creation, hearing your voice, and experiencing your love. Keep them bound together with you and your people. Bring them back ready to teach us to grow into your clothes of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Amen. Go with joy, go with excitement, go with expectancy. Go and have a God-filled time. We go with you with prayer. You have been commissioned. Please remain standing for our opening hymn, number 120. Holy, holy, holy. And that's the God that we serve, a holy God, one that we should be expectant, knowing he's here among us, his presence is with us. Let's worship this morning. Encourage us during this time to share any joys or concerns that you may have. Certainly continue to keep National Youth Conference participants around the world as they gather in Colorado in your prayers and for safe travels and for an impactful event. Any other joys or concerns you'd like to share? It's certainly a joy to have the Hoovers with us this morning, and they'll be sharing about their mission as representatives in the Church of the Brethren in the Dominican Republic. Any other joys or concerns? We do ask you to keep Tim Reinhart in prayer. He has blisters where his prosthesis are, so he's a bit discouraged right now. So continue to keep Tim in your prayer that those blisters would be healed quickly.
I'd like prayer for my daughter, Tammy. She was in the hospital yesterday, and I'd like prayer for her.
Tammy? Okay. Yes.
I'd like to thank God for all the traveling miracles that we've had in our family in the last 10 days.
I see someone in the back who's going to share about VBS. I just have this really exciting feeling. What a wonderful experience that was.
Wow. Yes, we made it through another week of VBS. What an awesome, awesome experience this year. I cannot thank everybody enough from all the little things that happened, whether you donated a cooler, Catherine, wherever you are, up front, to stuffing hot dogs, to collecting money, to pouring drinks for little kids. There were so many little tiny things that took a whole army to make it happen, but it happened and it was absolutely fabulous. We had 124 students on our fullest day, and we raised over $1,100 for our local food pantry. Thank you so much for those donations. And most of all, we were able to share with the community the amazing Book of the Bible with so many children, and how we can all reach eternal salvation through God. It was just a truly amazing experience. So thank you. And if you have any comments, good, bad, ugly, whatever, please feel free to call me, text me, email me, catch me at Horning, stick a note in my mailbox, whatever. I'd love to hear any kind of feedback. Thank you.
Let's give the Lord a round of applause for what he did at VBS. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for how incredibly great you are. We thank you, Father, for your goodness, for the way that you interact with the children and the joy that they bring to us as we celebrated Vacation Bible School. Lord, the seeds that have been planted, those that have come to know you for perhaps the first time, we pray they would continue to grow, they would continue to know you, to continue to be on Team Jesus, despite what the world competes to bring them to. We just thank you for that difference, that new birth that you give us as we accept you as Lord and Savior. And we pray that we would walk in that newness every single day of our lives. And we just thank you, Lord, that we can be forgiven. We know we'll sin, we'll make mistakes. And we know that through the cross and through the empty tomb, we have forgiveness and we have this incredible afterlife, this opportunity to be in heaven with you as we live this life dedicated and serving you and committed to loving others. We just thank you for that opportunity to spread joy, to spread hope in this world. We do think this morning of the National Youth Conference and people at work right now, just everything happening at front of the scenes, behind the scenes. Well, Lord, we just pray for everyone involved that this would just be an event that changes lives as we know it does in the past from those of us who have experienced it. And we just pray again for those National Youth Conference participants and advisors and everyone involved that you would just be with them, give them traveling mercies. You would be with them, that they would be able to hear, they would be able to see what you're up to in their lives and the lives of others. So just thank you for these opportunities for our youth and for the advisors and adults able to attend. We think of Tim this morning, Lord, encourage him this morning. Give him an extra dose of your love as we pray for those blisters to be healed very quickly, that he might be able to put his prosthetics back on and continue to rehab and continue to learn to walk with them. We just praise you for what modern medicine has allowed us to do. But we know in these situations, Lord, you're the master physician. So we just pray your healing touch over Tim. We pray your healing continually over Leah and over Jean and over Sharon and others that come to our mind. We think of Tammy this morning and just pray that you would be with her and bring healing to her. And we just think of the way in which we go from place to place and how you continually watch over us. You protect us. You surround us with angels, Lord, as we travel. And we just pray that you would do so as we ourselves go about our daily travels, but also as we go further distances to the airports and different airplanes that we travel on as we go to National Youth Conference in various places, Lord, for the Hoovers and Traveling Mercies. We pray for them as well. But just thank you, God, for being active, for your presence here in this place, that we can know you, we can see you at work, and we know the difference that you make in our own lives. So we just praise you this morning and worship you and adore you, Lord, for who you are and what you mean to us. But Lord, we do know we sin, and we pray that we could turn from those sins, and we need your help, Lord. And we just pray in these next few moments that we would ask for forgiveness. We would also ask for those prayers upon our hearts. So thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers during these next few moments of silent prayer. Father, every moment of every day, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the forgiveness the cross offers us. We thank you that you took our sins upon yourself. And there's no way we could possibly repay you for that, but we do strive day in and day out to live for you, to be surrendered, to be obedient, to live out the call you have upon our lives. And I just pray, Lord, your will would be done in every single person's life here represented and those not able to be here. We know, Father, that you are so good, that you have a plan and a purpose for us. And Lord, right now we may be wondering, we may be confused, what is it you have for us? And we're just praying in the powerful name of Jesus through the Holy Spirit that you would reveal that to us and that we would just continue to walk that path that you have called us to walk, that we wouldn't be distracted from this world, but we would be focused on eternal things and we would live that life above. So thank you, Father, for your son Jesus, for his example, and for the reflection that we can be of him as we speak and as we love and as we serve one another. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
It's time for our offertory thought and a prayer. Bible school this week was on my mind as I was getting ready. This is one of the examples of the good works that God planned in advance for us to do. And I was thinking of Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, but it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The offerings that we gather help us as a church to do these good works that God has planned for us. And maybe you weren't able to help the team, maybe you weren't able to be here this week, but one of the things that was brought to my attention was this was the first year that we had Bible school with air conditioning. And the teachers were coming back, they were coming here, and generally in the summer when you're here for Bible school, it is hot, and it's sweaty, it's just uncomfortable, And we had air conditioning this year. It was kind of nice. So maybe you weren't able to be here to help, but through your offerings, made this time of Bible school a more enjoyable time. So keeping that in mind as we bring our offerings, that God uses them and will use them to do the good works that he has planned for us to do. Let's pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, may our offerings be used to your glory and to do good things that you have prepared for us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Nicole Hoover.
And I'm Jason.
And we're here with our children, Ethan and Miriam. And we are the Hoover family. We have been serving in the Dominican Republic since November of 2016. And we are from Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren here in Pennsylvania. And we are here this morning, and we thank you for welcoming us. We're here this morning to share with you a little bit about our work in the Dominican Republic and what the Church of the Brethren is doing in the Dominican Republic.
Some of the things we'd like to talk about, if you'd advance to the next slide, is scholarship programs, local church worship, theology education, social and evangelism and community work, team roles when teams come down, and prayer requests.
So my son is here, and this picture is inside one of our churches in San Juan, the town that we live in the Dominican Republic. And one night at a worship service, we were visiting this church, and there was a coro going on, which is like a chorus-type song, and the congregation was really into it, and the woman in front of us was really into it, and she was jumping around, and she was dancing, and she was waving her arms, and she was kind of all over the place in the aisleway, and then at one point, she got in front of my son, and she spun around, and she almost gave him a black eye as she spun around. But thankfully, Jason kind of pulled him over, and he escaped a black eye. But my point in this is that church services in the Dominican Republic are very, very passionate. They use a lot of lively music, a lot of percussion instruments, and some of the churches do use guitar and keyboards in their services as well. We have about 30 churches of the Brethren in the Dominican Republic, and that number is growing. We have several preaching points, and the churches are spreading across the island. We're spread out from the east part of the island, some churches in the capital region around Santo Domingo, and then all along the southern border, up along the Haitian border as well. Our services are led, we have about 3 to 5 per week, and they're led by different people. So sometimes it's the men leading, other times it's the women. Saturday nights are usually the youth, and Sunday mornings and evenings are Sunday school, and then usually an evangelical message where it's usually led by the pastor of the church. And it is very, very common for the lay people in the Church of the Brethren to preach. It is, especially during the weeknight services, usually they take turns and they come up and share the message of Jesus Christ.
And you can see a different style of churches in the first picture to the second one. The second one is actually, was built, is actually a home that they've turned into a church. And then the next one, you'll see another style of church building with a metal roof, block walls. This is one of our Haitian descendant community that we have. So we have a diverse congregations too. We'll have more of a Creole service of the Haitian descent, but they will also do Spanish in those services. But then we have just Dominican churches where it'll just be all in Spanish. Excuse me. And the next slide will be start talking about the theology education and our theology degrees and different things that we talk about. But I want to tell a little story about my son. One morning, I heard a loud scream, and I actually thought it was my daughter, but it was my son. He came running out of his bathroom, through his bedroom, and came running out hysterically screaming at the top of his lungs. And I had to calm him down to get out of him what he was trying to tell me. He was trying to tell me that there was a rat in his toilet. He went in there to go to the bathroom, and there was a rat swimming in his toilet. So needless to say, I had to get a broom, go take care of the rat, remove it from the toilet so he could use the bathroom and once I calmed him down. But the reason I tell you this story and tell you about this is in our theology degrees and in our walk with the Lord, rats can enter through small holes. So can mice. So can sin. So can Satan. It doesn't take much of a room like this rat. He entered through the toilet, through the pipes, no other way. But they can enter. And in the Dominican Republic, there's many ways that we help close those holes so Satan and sin can't enter. One of the ways is through the theology training. The theology training is for any persons in the Church of the Brethren who would like to study the Word of God, study to become technically a pastor. But a lot of those people are just lay people, the deacons of the church, that want to just study and learn the Word of God more and more in depth. In the next slide, you'll see the training program. It's a 2.5-year course study, and here are the topics that they will study. Basically, a degree like a pastor would study here, a little lower of a degree, more of for a deacon or a, I can't think of the word that I want to use. But this is one of the ways we will use. But then also throughout the week, through those teachings and preachings that my wife was saying about, when they go to 3 to 5 times of services during the week, one of them will be a Bible study where one of their lay people will study, and one will be a men's night. So in the churches there, they really study the Word of God.
You can advance the slide, please. So another program that is running through the Church of the Brethren currently is our scholarship program. And this is designed to give young people an opportunity to study at a university, a private university. And it supports their tuition. The student is responsible to cover their transport and their books. And in return, the student needs to give back to the Church of the Brethren. So they serve within a Church of the Brethren. Usually a lot of our students are the youth president. And they also make a long-term commitment to the Church of the Brethren. So for an example, an accountant major someday might make a really good church treasurer. So this program is designed to develop leadership within the Church of the Brethren there. The scholarship committee actually governs the students, and there's 4 members of the committee. I'm part of it, and I work with a young lady there in the first picture. Her name is Poseida. She's our committee head. And we went around and we interviewed all the students, and then we make sure that they maintain their good grades. They need to keep above an 80%. And they also need to do so many community service hours throughout their course of study. They are eligible to receive scholarships for 4 years. And their sponsors are stateside. They obtain their sponsors through stateside, and they have communication with their stateside sponsors. So this is another program that is currently running. We have 8 students currently studying right now within the Church of the Brethren.
Another thing we'd like to talk about is the evangelism and social work of the communities and the churches that we do in the communities. And here you can see us preparing for a day where we just walked through the community, handed out Spanish tracts, inviting people to church. This was a combined council event. So different people came from different churches to this community that were revitalizing a church. So they all came together, and then we went out and were inviting people to come back to the church that we're restarting. But one thing through this, another story I would like to say is about my daughter, Miriam. Right before we came back to the States, we removed her training wheels. And instantly, she just goes without fear, but also without brakes. Because when it came down to the end, she didn't use her brakes. She just jumped off the bike. And what I want to say about that is through our evangelism and social and community work, it's also we need to go through it like Miriam did, without fear of consequences of being rejected, doors shut in our faces, people not taking the word of God. But we also need to not put on the brakes too soon. Many times through our walk with the Lord or walk with somebody else in their walk with the Lord of helping them or a program we've started, how often do we put on the brakes too soon? Another story is we have a pastor in one of our in our town, actually. She has gone for 13 years to a mountain town outside of our town. So once a week for 13 years, she has gone there as she's able to, because there's been times when if it rains too hard, she can't pass because there's a bridge out and she can't get there. But for 13 years, she's gone there. And within this past year, there has been many come to the church, but it's taken her 13 years to do that. So how many times in our walk have we stopped programs too soon? This pastor has taken 13 years to bring members to her church, but she could have stopped many years ago, stopped walking that street that she does every time she goes. She walks the street, stops if there's anybody outside their home to talk to them. How many times have we stopped too soon? But another way we do it, just by not walking the streets, another thing we do is a rabbit program, where we've received a grant through Global Food Initiative, which I know you guys give money to Global Food Initiative, where we train farmers or people in the church at this point to raise and breed rabbits to feed their families, to start a business, to sell rabbit meat, or just to sell rabbits to others, but also to feed their families, where they will go out and gather the food and then raise and breed the rabbits. We teach the participants in one day. We teach them how to breed, raise, and rabbits, to kill, to eat, to cook, all that stuff in one day, and we send them home with a cage and a breeding pair of rabbits. Within 1 year, that participant needs to give that cage back and 4 rabbits. So then the program itself can keep growing with less money coming down from the state, so they can keep breeding and raising these rabbits to feed their families and their communities. Feed their for the church events, they can give rabbit meat, but they can also in the future, our plan is to now, as we keep progressing in more trainings, to go out into the communities, to evangelize them through this program to bring people to Christ. One of the other things we do besides this, if you go to the next slide, one other thing we're planning to do in some of these communities, here I was actually in Haiti talking with the Church of the Brethren there that's done some water projects. We're looking to do some water projects in some of our communities where people have a hard time receiving water on a daily basis because either the well is not able to be functioned because they don't have electricity, or they have to walk very far distances just to get water out of a river. And it's not clean, safe drinking water, but that's what they drink. So we're looking at some different projects to do to maybe drill a well or just some purification systems to be able to purify rainwater or the such. And through that, we can evangelize and build the communities.
Another big and important role of the Church of the Brethren in the Dominican Republic is a call for peace and working on the immigration process. We have, as we said, we have both people and churches of Haitian descent and then of Dominican descent as well. And we have, as a council, we are a blended council. So there is an awareness that there needs to be a lot of help in the immigration process. It is known in the Dominican Republic that there are a lot of immigrants that come over from Haiti, both legally and illegally. The government does have a program set up for what they call a naturalization process for Haitians to be legal within the Dominican Republic. However, that process isn't easy, and a lot of people are unaware of it, or they are missing the documents to be able to be part of the process. So part of what the Church of the Brethren does is goes out, they hold days where they kind of do like interview processes with people, and they say, what do you have? What are you missing? This is what you need. They educate. This is what you need to go get your, they call it a carnet. It's a card that they're legal in the country. So that has been very important. Sometimes they will also transport people from a local church community to the immigration office. The picture that you see up here of a line is actually a line at an immigration office. And sometimes the people will go and they will stand in line for 3 days or more, 4 days, we heard one story. And they have to stay there because they only are open for a short time, and they take like the first 30 people and then they close for the day. So then you have to wait until the next day to be able to go through the process. So once we transport people to the spot, they have to stay there until they're seen at the immigration office. Calling for Peace also, they have had different meetings with different pastors, different denominations, just raising awareness and calling for peace in the country. There have been acts of violence and racist acts within the country, and when one starts, then it's, unfortunately, it's broadcast across the news, and then you hear of another one. So just calling for peace in a time of tension is also something that the Church of the Brethren is actively doing there.
Another thing we'd like to talk about is about the team roles when teams come down from the States and come down to witness or work or do VBSs throughout the country and throughout our churches. One thing I'd like to say, this was a group that came down from Chickie's Church of the Brethren. They did a combined youth event for all the churches, but they also did construction while they were there. So our teams can be so diverse. And what I want to also say about the teams, we witnessed with this group, their witness is how I would like to say it. While they were there, they handled some things that not all teams would do very well. They handled two bus breakdowns on their way to and from different things. One was on their way back to the Capitol after a long, long day. It was late in the night, heading to their hotel. After this youth event, they handled a bus breakdown, and what do they do inside this gas station that was closed? They get out, they start singing songs and playing games at 10, 11 o'clock at night. They weren't complaining, they weren't grumbling, but their witness showed to that bus driver that was dealing with something himself after his bus broke down, that's his livelihood, but it showed their witness of them not making his situation feel worse. And then again later, again, the same bus driver, a different one of his buses, he owned two buses. When they were taking him for a different day, another one of his buses broke down with a different problem. But again, they handled the situation well. They prayed over him. They took him aside, prayed over him, and played games in the grass while they were waiting till another bus came. But your witness while you're there as a team can be just as powerful of you being there and witnessing or constructing or doing a VBS of just how you handle situations, because in the Dominican Republic, not everything flows smoothly. But what we also want to say about those team roles is they can be so diverse. We've had, as you keep going through these slides, these next couple slides, you'll see different ones. This was a theology event where some pastors came down and did some theology events and training events and did some preaching. We also have not just pastors that come down and do that, but deacons come down and do theology and training events. They can be as small as 2 people up to 10 people that come down and do work and witnesses. This was a team that did a puppet show, a VBS-like puppet show, but they also did some sexual education for the community. They also did health events and handed out school bags to the children. They handed out hygiene kits also. In the next slide, if I remember right, is another VBS where they did VBS and church construction. In the next slide, this was the same group. This was another VBS that we just had with over 100 children at a church that we were revitalizing. Here's some church construction. Our churches, as we build them now, we're doing with concrete roofs instead of the tin roofs because they're used during hurricanes as a community safe zone where people from the community can go during a hurricane because their house is only made out of tin and sticks. And during a hurricane, that's not a safe place to be. So people go to the church for those days when the hurricane is going over them to be safe. So here we are getting ready to prepare and pour a roof. In the next slide, this was just a church. This is the church revitalization I was talking about earlier where we were getting ready to go out in evangelism. This is a group that came down. We did. They were just doing scraping paint and preparing the roof to seal the roof and repaint the church. We did some tin work on the back of the church. They cleaned up the property, put a new barbed wire fence up to keep animals out from eating the fruit trees and things. But they also did VBSs while they were there. So the church, the teams are so diverse, and the teams can be tailored to whatever the team coming down would prefer to do.
So we leave you with a few prayer requests today. If you could go to the prayer request slide, please. Spreading the word of Jesus Christ, spreading the gospel message. I mean, this is our grand commission. This is what we're sent out to do. So just praying that the Dominican leadership, that the pastors, that this would be their utmost importance, and that they would hold this in their hearts as they go out and share the message. Just leadership development. It's hard for me to read the screen. Internal economic strategies, water projects, our scholarship students, immigration, as we talked about, unity and peace. And then, you know, you can please keep our family in prayer too. It's a blessing to be there. We have grown so much in our spiritual journey, but we also really, need prayer support as well. We have a minute. If somebody wants to ask any questions, feel free to do that now, or you can ask us after service as well. We will be here for the team meeting today. And we thank you for receiving us. Our contact information is up there as well. You can shoot us any kind of email. Thank you.
I would like to invite the children to come join me up front. Good morning. So some pretty amazing things have been going on inside this church this week. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What am I talking about? Vacation Bible School, right? Yeah, Vacation Bible School. How many of you attended this week at Vacation Bible School?
Yeah.
So our theme was Game On, and it revolved around a lot of sports. My class, a four-year-old group, we took a survey on her favorite sport, and do you know what it was?
Sport.
What's this?
Baseball.
Baseball. Baseball was our most popular sport in my class. What's your favorite sport?
Baseball.
You like baseball, too? How about you, sweetie? Football? How about you guys?
Soccer.
Soccer?
Soccer.
Soccer. Soccer. Ooh, soccer's a popular one up here, too. Have you ever been picked to play in a team before? No? Well, it'll happen when you get to school and you have gym class. And even this week at VBS, you might have gotten asked to be on teams to play games. When I was little, about your age, I didn't like it when it came time to pick teams in gym class. Do you know why?
Why?
Because I got picked last a lot of the times. Do you know how that made me feel?
Sad.
Very sad. Yeah, I felt left out, very sad. Do you know that you don't have to feel that way when you're a part of God's team? You never will get picked last for God's team. If you were here at Bible school this week, you'll remember how much we learned about being a part of God's team. So the Bible, what did we call the Bible at Bible school this week? Do you remember? It is the Holy Bible. We called this God's playbook this week. This is God's playbook. And it tells us that before God made the world, God loved us, and he chose us. Before we were even born, God decided to put us on his team. Isn't that pretty awesome that he already chose us to be on his team? Why do you think God would want us to be on his team? Any ideas? Do you think it's because we're so awesome and wonderful and we do everything right?
No.
No. You know what? He is so awesome and wonderful, right? He is our awesome God. We need someone to help us grow, and he's there to help us every day. And we need someone to love us, and he loves us more than anyone ever could. We also need a forever home. Where do you think that forever home is? You know what that's called?
Heaven.
Heaven, right. Very good. He gives us a home in heaven. So some days the doors of heaven will open up for us and we'll get to see God. So God has chosen us, and now it's up to us to confess our sins and trust and follow in Jesus. And I'm so glad that God chose me to be a part of his team. Aren't you? Are you happy to be on God's team? Yeah. Let's pray about it. Dear Father, thank you for choosing us and for sending your son Jesus so that we could be a part of your wonderful team. We are excited to keep living a full life by following your game plan, and we are excited that one day the doors of heaven will open and we will get to see you, our ultimate team captain. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Revelation 4. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and behind. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being."
Would you pray with me? Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy of our entire being. For we know that you created all things. You have made us in your image. And we know that sometimes that image gets scarred. But Father, this morning we're thinking of eternal things. We're considering the life ever after. And we know, Father, that as we live this life, we want others to know that life through us as we are shining examples in this darkened world. We pray, Father, you would use us, that you would exemplify us before others, that we would be a witness, we would be a testimony to this community and this world. We pray this morning that you would gather us in, you would allow us to focus, to see what John has seen. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning, I do invite us to see through the eyes of John. The door is standing open in heaven. And the voice we hear sounding like a trumpet says, "Come up here, and I'll show you what must take place after this." Friends, I invite us to keep our focus and truly think about what we're seeing, what we're feeling in this description of the throne room. At once, we're in the Spirit, and there before us is a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. Now, we may ask ourselves this morning, who could this be? And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. Just when it can't get any more intense, from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. And then in front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing, the seven spirits of God. Friends, we never want to lose the vivid reality of the life ever after. People who have had near-death experiences describe this warmth, a well-being, a total and absolute love. They've experienced the sense of being above the operating table, being able to look down at themselves being operated upon. There's been moments described as darkness into light, with a sense of peace as a tunnel experiencing moving up or down with rapid movement of light. There were voices that spoke. Some have heard, they say, someone say, it's going to be okay. And others have heard the doctor or attendings say, there's nothing else we can do. Those people have met loved ones, and in nearly all cases, not a single one of them desired to come back to this earth. More often than not, these people were no longer fearful of death. But this morning, whether you've had one of these experiences, or whether you're a skeptic finding these encounters hard to believe, the life ever after is something we will all face. But there's another fact that we must consider. Eternal life, heaven, can be on earth. It's in the life of Jesus. Remember a few weeks ago, we talked about living the life above? We can conceive this idea that the closer we get to Christ, the closer that heaven is to earth. There's nothing more powerful, there's nothing more transforming than knowing Christ. But Hebrews 2 will tell us that the devil will use the fear of death to hold us in bondage. But the scripture says in verse 11, they not only bowed down before God's throne, but they took off their crowns and laid them before him, saying, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will, they were created and have their being." Friends, nothing in this life will ever compare to God. No matter how significant we may be, no matter how important, no matter how powerful we may feel, nothing is in comparison to God. So the question we ask ourselves this morning is this: what if we were to see God for who he was? What if we saw God for who he was? Would we bow down in adoration? Would we fall face to the ground? Or would this world have gotten a hold of us enough that we would take a step back and not even know that he is God? Friends, we can enjoy this life, but keep your focus on God. Keep your priority on God, because he deserves all the glory in everything we do. And remember, it's not about how much or in what capacity we serve the Lord. It's about knowing and wholeheartedly serving in whatever we do. This week, friends, let's be reminded who God is. Stand outside at night. Look up at the stars. Take a trip to the ocean and be mesmerized, not only by the vastness and the crashing waves, but by the innumerable species that you'll find within those seas. I'd invite us to take a hike this week or a walk. Go on a drive if you can't take a hike or walk to the highest mountaintop, but get out of the car and experience the beauty of God's creation from above. Hold that small child. Look into their eyes and realize how precious God has made children in his image. But know this, friends. When we attempt to do this, there will be that voice in our head saying, "Don't get out of the car. Don't step outside of your doors. Just keep your focus on the man-made. Keep your focus on the things that you've been able to create. Stay at the office. Keep seeing what man has made." And in that attempt, he'll keep us from seeing what God has created. But in all his glory and all his vastness, outside these four walls, there is a God that is indescribable. Think about the power in imagery. Verses 6 to 8, it read, "Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures. They were covered with eyes in the front and in the back. The first living creature was a lion, the second like an ox, the third had a face like a man, the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of these four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around. Even under its wings, but day and night they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'" I'm not sure why this week as I studied this passage, but the closest on earth image I could come up with to these creatures with these wings with eyes were these moths and butterflies. Have you ever seen them where it looks like this moth has eyes on them? That's the closest I could come up with. But God has given us this ability to visualize, to imagine the greatness of his kingdom. We consider these four living creatures. It's tempting, it's very tempting to say they're only figurative. But friends, these are real. These are actual creatures. Hollywood's got nothing on heaven. As a matter of fact, what we see in the movies, some of that imagery comes from the Bible. But think about these creatures a moment. A lion. What do we call a lion? The king of the jungle, right? And an ox. Commercially, he's the most powerful of all flying, of all domesticated animals. And the eagle, the most powerful of all flying birds. And then, man, you and I, the creation who governs over the rest of the animals. And what were they characterized? By power. Constantly saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come." You see, friends, God is set apart. God is distinct. God is so far beyond us. Can you even imagine if one of those beings came into the sanctuary and suddenly was standing right in front of you? How would you feel? What would you experience? More than likely, we would be horrified. We would be terrified. It's beyond anything we can conceive or imagine. Yet even as great, even as powerful as they were, they bowed down and worshiped the Lord. Friend, today, it's a reminder for us to keep our focus in worship where it belongs. On the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one seated on the throne. Would you pray with me? Father, we give you all glory. We know there are times that we're tempted to take the glory for ourselves, but what you have created within us to bring forth to this world is because of you. The skills, the gifts, the talents that we offer, we give you glory. We thank you that we can have leadership abilities. We thank you that we can be creative. We thank you that we can be the change. But Father, we desperately need you in the midst of everything we're doing. May we always focus in our worship, everything we do, on that throne where you are seated and will never leave. We thank you, Father, for being our King and being our Lord. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. If you're able, please rise for our closing hymn, "All Hail Jesus." So Miriam's going to demonstrate to us what we want to do this week. We want to be able to soar like that eagle we talked about at the throne. Can you make the plane soar? Notice how the plane soars, and our lives too can soar as we live that life above. So let's be set apart. Let's be different. Let's be above what this world says we should be and be like Christ and demonstrate that to this world with love and with peace. Amen.